So you just wrote something about how to use Git and the basics, and I'm going to, this is the Wi-Fi now, and I'm going to talk about Git servers and Git frontends, which you can use in your company or in your organization or just with your open source project, which are hosted in-house, so which are an alternative to the big GitHub. So sometimes you have code states which you don't want to publish immediately, and therefore it would be nice to have a Gitlet or an SCM manager. And there are lots of tools already on the market, and while I'm talking, I will go through the history of my company, the company I'm working for, and we tried out GitLab and Gitorius and these two, and we came to the conclusion that one of these two are, well, really easy to install and to maintain, and yeah, but let's see. First, something about me. I'm working at Aquinet Tech Espre. We are placed in Berlin, and I'm a DevOps specialist there. And I'm responsible for the complete infrastructure. So that means all systems the software developers use, like Jenkins, Nexus, the SVN, the Git repositories, and so on. Yeah. Myself, yeah, usually I have some special characteristics which are really helpful for the job and when you maintain software and systems for IT developers. I question the answers they give me. And I'm really interested in sustainable work, so sometimes it takes a bit longer to make something really sustainable and running stable, but I rather take this effort to build stable systems, and the same applies to my private lifestyle, so I really try to do things sustainable and don't just waste time and money just to be fast in the short run. Yeah, every day I figure out that I really need to do more, like finding out new stuff, and 2 weeks ago this really happened, so I had to change my talk. Initially it was just about Gitblit, but I accidentally ran into SCM Manager, and so I changed it to give you some more input and at least two alternatives you can use. And I have added a comparison of both tools in the end, so it's not one or the other is the better one, it depends on what you need in your organization or company and which features you would like to have. So, what can we do today and now to be sustainable or a bit more sustainable in-house in your company? As I told you, I'm going to tell you something about the history at Aquinet Tech Espre, and out of this history, I'm going to derive the selection criteria which we used in the first run to decide whether to use Gitorius, GitLab, or Gitblit, and then I will. Yeah, we have basically first decided to use Gitblit, and last week we switched from Gitblit to SCM Manager. So you're going to see how fast changes happen in technology as well. after the introduction, I will give you some more selection criteria because we discovered some problems while using Gitblit, and which lead to some development forwards. And finally, to the change to the SCM Manager. Oh, sorry. And then I will give you some advices how to introduce Git and Git servers into your organizations. So usually, well, in some companies you have people who want to stick to SVN because it already does everything they want to, but most people who have switched from SVN to Git or to Mercurial never want to switch back once they have tried it out. So I'm going to give you some advices how you get these people who deny to even try out Git in your company so that you get the whole company behind you and all the people in it, that they support the new and the nice features of Git in your company, and they really start using it in everyday work. Finally, as I already told you, you get a decision matrix which helps you to decide which of the two you could take for your company. And yeah, then I will give you some conclusions, and I will also give you some ideas where you can get support and how you can improve these tools. Okay, first the history. So I started there working in the end of 2011, and there they used Gitorious internal just for experimental small projects. And they, two of my colleagues prepared that and made the installation and choose Gitorious instead of GitLab and other things. And they discovered that it wasn't really stable at all to run Gitorious in-house, and the installation process was a really pain in the ass. So they weren't really as happy enough to put that into a productive use for all projects we have. In June 2012, we made a new comparison because technology evolves really fast, and we compared GitLab, Gitorious, and Giblet, and came to the conclusion that Giblet would be the fastest alternative. So some of you might like GitLab, but we tried the installation and we weren't finished like after 1.5 hours when we ran into a common known installation issue, and it was not easy to fix. So Giblet, in fact, is really easy to install. You download it and you start it. Well, maybe you unzip your file, you download it, or you just put it into your running Tomcat and then it's there. So it's really, you don't need to have any knowledge about installation of software to get a Git server running with Giblet. So we were really impressed by this Giblet stuff that we decided to use it productively for our projects. And then we get a new requirement, because up to then we just used Giblet for internal people, so for all the staff people, but customers couldn't access the repository or other partners. So we get a new project, and the customer requested that they can access the Git repository to review the source code. And so we had decided, well, that's nice, but at this time Giblet didn't really support access, fine-grained access permission management per repository, and it had some, I would say bugs, but not features, that you have to decide if either every person who can log into Giblet can create a repository, or no person except the administrator. So that wasn't really a nice feature, because we would like to have the staff to be able to create as much repositories as they want, but not the customers' accounts. So we had some problems with the limited permission management in Giblet. Yeah, so we started developing and contributing to Giblet, and I worked together with James on some features. James Moger is the project lead of Giblet. And we started to get things merged, and then I started to program the second attempt to re-architect the permission management inside Giblet. And I was so frustrated because it was so slow to integrate something new into Giblet that I started reading blocks, and I came to SCM manager through one block. It was just one line, and I've never noticed it before on the market. And yeah, as I told you, we switched last week to SCM manager. So what were our selection criteria in the first one when we needed, at least any kind of in-house Git server so we can host our repositories for our projects? And why we choose Git, but it was, well, it was nice. It had a nice web interface, and it was able to create repositories, even for normal users. And you could group, filter, and search repositories, and browse in a repository. Yeah. So you could, the browsing was really really nice. So the integration, when you click in a on a change set in Jenkins, according to, or which belongs to a build, then you can really nicely browse and get bled through your source code without needing to check out the whole repository. Okay, so I'm going to shorten these four requirements in the next slides, because it's going to be some more requirements. We had some special requirements for or depending on our infrastructure. That was, first we needed an integration to Apache Crowd, so all our applications authenticate users against Crowd and get the group information from there. And it should be written in Java, because we're almost everyone in our company is able to develop Java. So we decided, okay, it would be a great feature if it's written in Java, so we can apply changes ourselves very easily. And, well, actually contribute to the projects which we use. So, I think you're a bit curious to see how the applications look like. This is a first screenshot after login in Gitblit. And you can see that's, well, a nice web interface. And you can also, this was taken from our internal server, which we had running since 2 weeks ago. And you can see that it's, yeah, the integration with CrowdWorks, because I'm logged in as myself at the screenshot, and it's written in Java. So, next thing, you have a nice UI to create repositories really fast. Yeah, you can give a name, description, and you have some special features, like you can enable ticketing inside Gitblit, and yeah. Or you can freeze repositories even. This is an option below the screenshot here. Yeah, you can really search and filter over all repositories, and you can group them, which is a really nice feature, especially when you start getting really a lot of Git repositories. And I was a bit surprised, because when we started, it was like 8 to 10 repositories, which we took out from the old Gitorius server, and so in the last 180 days, like in the last half year, we had about 2,500 commits, and we now have 66 Git repositories in this Git server. So it really dramatically increased since we got productive, at least with one kind of Git server, and people really like to use it. Yeah, and of course you can browse your history, and you can browse branches and tags and view the source code of a certain commit, and you can view the diff, so what you would get when you use Git patch on your command line. Gitblit has also some nice features, like you can have these statistics. Here are the numbers which I just told you from our Git server. So you can see which repositories are the most active ones, and you have some kind of federation, so you can have several Gitblit servers in-house, and you can connect them with the federation feature. We didn't use it, but if you have to support a bigger organization, it might be helpful to have this federation stuff, so that you can have different points of access. In fact, we could have solved this customer stuff problem with another, Gitblit interface, but then that would have meant that every project in future time, which requests to give the customer access to a Git repository, would have got an own Gitblit installation. And we're just about 50 people, and I'm the only person who takes care for the infrastructure, and the Git server is not the only tool. So for a small company, this is not a really good idea, I think, because you could mess up things really fast when you have a lot of Gitblit installations around. So we decided not to use that. and well, statistics, you can generate them for all the repositories or per repositories. It's always nice to show a customer a nice chart so that they can see that you really make progress. yeah, in the newer versions of Gitblit, you have some more features like the fork feature. You can fork like you already get to know it in the previous talk on GitHub. And you can fork inside the one and the same Gitblit server. One nice feature also would be to be able to share a project or to migrate it to or to move it to GitHub, but that's not yet implemented. And I added another feature which is called auto tag push. So every push is automatically tagged with a revision number, and it's incremental. So after 6 months, you can still see what which commit was intended to be stable by the developer, because sometimes developers commit locally to have a a stable state, and then they push later like a couple of commits together, and that is intended to be shared with and shared with other project members. So after this really helps if you have to find bugs, regression bugs in your code, so it's easier to to check just the marked versions, and then you can see and revision 13, it still worked. In revision 14, it didn't work anymore. So I just have to check these three commits in between, but not all 15 commits of the different pushes. Yeah. Okay, but we also discovered some problems with Gitblit while using. I just mentioned one: the permission management is really, not that nice implemented in Gitblit. And the website of Gitblit says, well, it's implemented and it's even better now. But when we started using Gitblit a year ago, it wasn't that nice. And it still has some pain points, especially for companies. So I'm going to give you the pain points now. Like I said, access management per repository wasn't that nice implemented. And, well, the UI is a bit kind of not that useful. You can do it, and it looks nice, and it's bootstrapped. But when I try to really heavily use the UI, I sometimes ended up with, well, I set like 10 permissions, and nothing was saved, things like that. So I decided, well, not a nice implementation, and authentication against multiple systems in parallel is also not supported. If you have like different directories where you manage your user accounts, or you want to use the crowd authentication and the internal authentication of the tool in parallel, it's not possible with Gitblit. You have to decide. So that took a long process, because usually creating a user account requires that we send a request to another company of the holding, and they create the account, and that takes between 2 to 3 days. But if you need just access right now to a certain repository for your customer because you want to prepare a presentation for tomorrow, then it's not possible. And that was not really helpful. So I can tell you already now that the SCM manager can do that. So that was a big plus argument for us. Well, and the dashboard, as I showed you like 5 minutes before, it looks really nice, but the problem is that you can't collapse the groups of projects. So when you start having a lot of projects in it, and your project name starts with an S or with a T, you have to scroll down every time you want to browse in your repository, and that's really annoying. So we started implementing a feature to star and unstar repositories to have a custom dashboard, and we still have an open pull request on that for Gitblit. So you probably will get a star and unstar feature as you know it from Gitblit in the as you know it from GitHub in Gitblit. in the future time, but it's still not merged, and it's really helpful when you start having a lot of repositories. So pretty soon, with all the implementations we started doing and all the contributions to Gitblit, we ended up really tired, as I told you. The Git server is just one component of the complete infrastructure you use to develop software. Yeah, so we came to the SCM manager, and I decided, well, it was like 7 in the evening. Okay, just install it. Let's see how long it takes. It took like 2 minutes, like Gitblit. Just download it, start it, and it's running. And then I started using it with some local test projects. And, well, this is a screenshot from our productive system again. So we have like a lot of presentations, like this one. This one is marked in our repository. So you see, you have a nice web interface. Unfortunately, it's not bootstrapped, so it's a bit. You get to need to get a bit used to it, because usually most websites today are like bootstrapped and look like pretty much the same. You can easily create repositories, and the first thing I tested was, okay, let's connect it to Crowd and see if I can limit the create repository permission to a certain group of users. And actually, there's a plugin for it, and you can do it. So I was really happy with this feature. And yeah, you can group, filter, and search your repositories. And nice thing of SCM Manager is that it just not supports only Git repositories, but also Subversion and Mercurial repositories if you configure it. And so I think it's a big pro argument if you still have both in your company, the SVN people who want to stick to SVN, and you have the Git people who would like to use Git and want to have internal repositories, and you can just unify them with one front end, so both use the same front end, and when they create new projects, they can easily decide which type of repository to use, if they want to use Git for their project or Subversion, but they don't have to switch tools for it anymore. Yeah, and like Gitblit, it is written in Java as well. So if you need to change it or write a patch or contribute something to SCM Manager, it would be easy for us. So as I told you, there was a plugin, and in fact, the SCM Manager architecture is a lot better than the Gitblit architecture when it comes to extensibility. So almost everything in this Git server is a plugin. So if you want to have a new feature, just write a plugin, but you don't need really to get it merged into the master branch of the master repository anymore of the project. So you just write a plugin and maintain it yourself. Yeah. So as you can see here, it's really a lot, like about 40 to 50 plugins already, which you can use. And the Crowd integration was a plugin as well. So if you just need a different type of authentication, just add a new plugin. And they already have like Crowd support, Redmine support, and LDAP support. Yeah, and that's really nice. Okay, you have some nice features, nice-to-have features, like I already told you about Gitblit, but they're different here. So you have a nice Jenkins integration. That means Jenkins doesn't pull anymore, but you can define that a certain, if there's happens a certain push to a push to a certain repository, you can just say, okay, let the SCM manager trigger a job inside the Jenkins. And that's really nice, because that ensures that every push you had is going to be built by Jenkins. Well, you have to decide on which repositories to use this feature, but actually we have one project now which uses this feature, and they're quite happy, because if they have a bug and Jenkins pulls like just every 10 minutes and you have 3 pushes during these 10 minutes, Yeah, it takes a bit of time to find out which of the pushes created the bug inside the software. And if you have like three builds for each push you have made, then it's easy to find out which push of which developer let the build fail, and it's helpful. So you also have a Jira integration. So if you use Jira, you can link tickets, but you can also that's common, but you can also let the SCM manager close tickets for you if there's a commit with a commit or with a ticket number inside the commit message and a certain word. So you can give different words like close or resolved to change the ticket state in your Jira ticket. And this is really nice as well. And for the change of the ticket state, SCM manager just uses the user session of the logged in user. So the user who committed the certain commit or pushed the certain commits is going to close a ticket automatically, so they don't have to log into Jira anymore and close a ticket afterwards. They already mentioned that it's closed inside the commit message. well, it's not a crucial feature, but it's nice because it reduces work for the developers. Okay, and of course you can browse through your branches and your can view certain states in the history for each commit and for each file. Yeah, and you can generate statistics as well, but in the SCM manager you can only generate statistics per repository, not overall repositories. So I don't know really how much commits we had since last week. Okay, so let's come to the part that you want to introduce Git to your company, and you want to support it with giving them a server which they can use in-house to start experimenting and to have their own small repositories with, and well then later get on and have it in real projects. First thing of all, don't force anyone, so let them choose themselves what they want. If they want to stick to SVN, let them stick to SVN, but there might be people who would like to try it out for project but are afraid to host the code on GitHub or something, or a Bitbucket, because of security constraints or because they have agreements with a customer that they are not going to host it somewhere in the cloud or something. So some customers really want to be sure that the code is not running around somewhere in the internet, even if you have to use a username and a password to access it. They really want to be sure that it's just inside your company, and if it's deployed, then it's the binaries in their company, but it's not spread around everywhere. So let them choose. And the SCM manager, in fact, gives you the option that they can still choose, but they all use the same front end. So as an administrator, you just have to maintain one system, not two anymore, to support Git and SVN. Or if you even have Mercurial, you don't need to support three systems anymore. Well, it's always nice to just offer something and then say, use it or die, but it's rather better to eat your doggone food and to use a system yourself. So, for instance, I use Git and the SVN and all the systems I have for my projects, like for presentations, for instance, or for GitBit contributions. So sometimes I just use them myself to see which things really hate, which features are really required, and which are like just nice to have. And yeah. Okay. What I learned from the let's try out to use GitBit productively without having like a big test session in front, just decided, is most times it's better to make a suboptimal decision than to avoid any decision, because if we haven't had started with GitBlit, last year, I wouldn't have started making contributions to this project, and I probably wouldn't have run across this blog post which mentioned SCM Manager. So we got started last year with Git really inside the company, and it wouldn't have had started yet if we didn't use the suboptimal system Gitblit. In our case, suboptimal because of the permission problems I told you. And the most important thing when you offer new systems and new technologies and want to convince people to use it is that it's not about technical features that leads to success, but it's about organizational and psychological aspects. So some projects are really big already, and it's a pain for them to move from SVN to Git, but we have a couple of people in our company who already started trying Git after we established Gitblit, and when they would start a new project now, they would immediately use Git, but to migrate from the SVN to the Git server, it's still like they still have a bit of fear. So at the moment, or this week, one of my colleagues is testing a migration strategy which we can apply to every project. So they just fear that something gets lost if they move from the SVN to Git, but there are strategies to move from SVN to Git. So you need to take it slow and to really show them that it works with the small things, and then they get convinced. But it's the same thing, like don't try to force people to do something. Just let them decide themselves and give them options and support if they want it. So it's also helpful to have a forum where people can regularly discuss with each other, and if they like, with you. But it's a lot better when you already have like some Git people in the company and some people who are like rejecting Git. Then just let them get together and talk about both things. And inside our company, it started with some talks about feature branches and branch by abstraction, that they started not just talking about the abstract branching strategies but feature implementation strategies, but they also started talking about the advantages and disadvantages of SVN and Git according to branching and merging. And that really convinced some to at least try Git next time. So one thing for a person who has like kind of a job that I have is try to always have an open and trustworthy communication style. So be clear in your communication and say which things are possible and which things aren't possible with the system. And also, like, it's always sometimes difficult to say, okay, well, SSH key authentication in an in-house Git server, is it a nice-to-have feature, or is it a must-have feature? And, well, of course, the persons who want it, they say, oh, it's a must-have, but it's not really a must-have if just two people use it. So you're not going to make a contribution to an open-source project just because two people in your company want it. Well, overall, it would be nice, but, well, it's just 40 hours a week you have to do your job. And one more thing is present the tools before the decision and right after the decision. So that means you present the tool. You say, oh, I found something new. Let's just get together and I will show it to you on my local installation for like 10 to 15 minutes. We have a big meeting room for that. And then people who are interested can come along and just check it out. And you can get some kind of feedback if they're interested in this new tool or not. And right after the installation is really important if you want to spread how they should use it really fast and to a mass of people. Because with SVN or with the old Gitblit stuff, it went the way, so we had the installation, and then it was, okay, how can I add a repository? So I started writing a big or a documentation how to click through Gitlib to get a new repository and what to fill in the input fields. But with the SCM manager, I did it different last week. So I just presented them the fresh installation, the new production system, and I logged into that system and really showed them so they could even follow me in the presentation and take part into it so they could start, yeah, just creating some test repositories and clicking through the UI together with me. So, and it seems to be like a waste of time, but it wasn't. It was like just presenting the tool for like 15 minutes, and then they started asking questions. Like, for instance, the question, okay, that really looks great. And the funny thing was, in this meeting last week, they started asking, oh, that's so great, I really want to migrate next week. How can I do that? Like, from the SVN into the new SCM manager. But they wanted to migrate to Git as well. Just, I think it was kind of a psychological aspect that I didn't the tool didn't force them anymore to use Git, but they had the decision to migrate, of course, to the new tool, but also they could choose now between Git and Subversion. So actually, I don't think we're really using the SVN feature in the SCM manager a lot in future time, but that people have the choice reduces the feeling that they're forced to use new technology. They can choose themselves, and that really makes a difference. And I was so surprised that a feature which you rarely are going to use has such an impact on how the acceptance of a new system you supply or you provide has. Okay, the decision matrix. I waited with it, or I gave some thoughts about the introduction into companies first, because it's not the one or the other is a better one now, and it depends a bit on your company, what you need, and how the people in your company are. So if you need multiple SCM support, and if you want to have this effect that they don't feel forced anymore, that it's just a new front end for the SVN, kind of, but they can also have Git repositories in it now, or Mercurial repositories, then you probably go for the SCM manager. If you need to authenticate users against multiple systems, well, then it's the SCM manager as well. If you need crowd integration, which you don't have to hack yourself with a patch, then you go for the SCM manager as well. And Redmine and LLab the same. So it's they are integrated, and you don't have to write text files or something. You just install the plugin in the SCM manager, and then you fill the form in the UI. But you don't have to implement code yourself or a patch for the Gitlib server. So if you just need something which is written in Java and you don't care about the time you waste implementing new authentication, then it doesn't matter if you take Gitlib or SCM. If you like what I said about the extensibility, that everything is almost everything is a plugin in SCM Manager, then you go for it. Well, if you like to browse your commits from Jenkins, from inside Jenkins, and you would have like this kind of repository browser stuff, then you go for the Gitlib, because up to now the SCM manager doesn't really integrate into Jenkins that way, but I think it's a nice to have feature, at least for us. It really depends on you. If you need federation or you really have an idea where to use it, then you go for Gitlib. If you like that you can link Jira tickets, then it doesn't matter which one. If you like that Jira tickets are automatically updated when you push or commit something to the master repository, then you go for the SCM manager. Some UI features, well, group filter and search repos is both can do that really well. You can create repositories, but you have to keep in mind that you can't limit repository creation to a certain group or certain users in Gitlib. Yeah, if you want to use both kinds of repositories, personal and global, they both have implementations for it, but the SCM manager way to do it is much more intuitive. So you don't have to move a personal repository to a global space when you want to change the type of the repository. You just add some new people who are allowed to watch your repository or to commit, push, and clone from or to it. yeah, repo creation, if you need to restrict it really fine-grained, then SCM manager. If you want statistics, it doesn't matter. If you want overall statistics, well, it's Gitblit. The fork feature is just Gitblit. Auto tag push feature is just Gitblit. Browsing commits per branch and browsing the head source. It's just, yeah, they both support it. And browsing history of a certain file, it's a bit easier in Gitblit than it is in SCM Manager, but it doesn't make a really big difference. You just have to know how to click through the UI. So, about support, I have two options. As I told you, I myself try to work sustainable in my work time and in my private time. So if you need a bigger contribution or plugin or something to one of those tools, or you just need help to introduce Gitblit or SCM Manager into your company, then you can write me an email and we just do the conventional way of support, and I come to your company or we have a phone call or something and my boss is going to write you a bill. If you want unconventional support, you can just do something good and spend a little amount of money, and if you just have a short question, of course, and I'm going to answer the question when you send me a receipt that you spent some money or some time or some good effort to a non-commercial project. And well, you can see everywhere where you find this this logo in the internet, it's basically me. So I have two types of contact cards with me. One is for the conventional support, and one is for the unconventional way you can find me and how you can send me the receipt or the proof that you did something good and spend like 10 minutes of your day doing something good. So you do something good for the society, I do something good for you. That's the deal. Last but not least, you can access the presentation online at bizware.spree.de/lnx-2013, and you can vote how you like the talk. So you can do that also with your smartphone or your iPad or whatever, and then you just put mobile.html in the end. So it's not a nice interface, but it does what it should do. And yeah, I can see the results then online. This is the local version of the presentation, so if I click here, I don't see anything. But after a certain time, if some of you have voted, then you can see online the results. Image sources of all the pictures, most of them have been Creative Commons. Questions?
You tried also to look beyond Java alternatives, or it was only the purpose of looking at these Java options for JIT management?
As I told you, we all also tried non-Java alternatives, but it's a big pro argument for us because usually we add something to the tools we use.
Yeah, I understood that, but it was just like, okay, if there are options and there are some, like, not even at the same level, or because if you have something very good and if it's not even Java, probably you would go for it, but you didn't find it, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I would even have used GitLab and simplified the installation process if I could write Ruby, but I can't. So it's just being practical and pragmatic.
Hi. First of all, I really liked your slide deck. It was good. But I have a question to this tag on push thing. Like, you push something and then it automatically gets tagged, because this is a recurring theme in a company environment that you have this distributivity, but at some point you have a central source where you have some numbering scheme in place.
Yeah, right.
Now, the question I have is, do you have a solution for automatically deploying stuff like you push it and then it gets tagged, and then this version number should be in the software when you somehow compile it and deploy it somewhere, because once it's deployed it's difficult to know which version it comes from.
Yeah.
So do you have any solution for this whole workflow of deploying with a version number automatically?
Well, we have a concept for it, but I did a talk about this 2 months ago at the Agile Dev Practices, and this auto tag push is kind of the first step. You have every revision automatically tagged, and we also tag. We treat our infrastructure as code, so we also tag the infrastructure code, and then you deploy it, and you also have when you deploy it, you give the file just the name of both tags, so you know which software version and which infrastructure version you rely on. And with a commit number or with a revision number, you can easily trace back. So with the revision number just helps you to see which states were intended to be stable, or which they wanted to have integration tests running on in the Jenkins. But it's just really the first step to have the whole chain. So the second step would be having an automatic tag created by your CI server, which tags the software and relates it to a certain infrastructure version, so you get a longer trace.
Yeah, and maybe even do some replacement in the code. For example, you have some string in your code that has the version. It should be replaced by the version that is installed, so that from within the program, maybe if you deploy to a user, he or she could sort of find out which version am I using, even if it is a development version.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we have some hack together combination of make scripts and very Linux-y stuff, but
yeah.
I've never seen a really good solution to this, so
yeah.
It's really a hard problem in a way.
Okay, yeah, maybe we can meet afterwards, sure. And I can show you the complete slide from the concept we have.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for your attention.